Thank you. And the first thing I want to say, I uploaded on Sunday with the other co-authors on that list, and that didn't get here for some reason, but Dr. Cost and Dr. Chen are also co-authors on this paper, so I'm not sure what happened. So these are some of the reasons that farmers are using gypsum, and my charge was to talk about rates, what are the proper rates, and what are the ways to apply the material. And this was a study, economic study, by two retired economics professors at Ohio State. They did a survey, and they asked farmers, why are you using gypsum? And I'm starting with this because then I'm going to tie some of the rates and application methods to this survey. So they said, well, we're using gypsum because it increases yield and revenue for its sulfur content, improvement in soil quality, better water management, more sustainable production, and improved environmental stewardship. That's what we've been talking a lot about today as far as phosphorus. So those are some of the issues that farmers are saying, this is why we're using the material. And I put this up there. This is not science, in a sense. You know, every time you say a testimony, oh, that's not science. But you know what? A lot of times our science begins with some observation a farmer makes, and they're a lot of times ahead of the researcher. So it says, in drier years, we don't see much response to gypsum, but in wetter years, we definitely see benefits. So again, this idea of water management. We put drainage tiles in a field, but we're not able to apply gypsum afterwards. There's this year delay, and they got better internal drainage for the soil. Then I put this little thing at the bottom. It says, the story of no tillage revisited. Why in the world am I saying that? Well, when I started at Ohio State University in 1980, I'm not that old actually, but no-tillage was just really beginning to take off, and people were saying, it doesn't work. I tried it on my field, and I put out an experiment last year, and I did some measurements, and it just didn't work. My yields went down, you know, and you had to learn how to use it. You had to stick with it. All these things, and no-tillage is used around the world. It's almost like I'm seeing this whole story repeat itself, but we're talking about gypsum today, not no-tillage. So how to determine rate? Always begin with the soil test. One of the things I've been trying really hard to do in the scientific area of this whole gypsum debate is to put gypsum on a scientific level with NPK fertilizer. Every university in the country has an NPK fertility guy. Calcium and sulfur are also macronutrients. How many universities have people working with calcium and sulfur? Not very many. One. Okay. So that's one of the goals I have. Let's put this on a scientific basis. So always begin with the soil test. Determine the goal. And this goes back to, you know, why are farmers using it? Is gypsum being used as a soil amend, as a nutrient source, or is it being used to impact the physical properties, infiltration, aeration, that sort of thing? Consider soil amendment timetable. How rapidly do you want to alter soil properties? We have, just like in no-tillage, it seems like sometimes there's a year or so for that chemistry to take place, to happen before you begin to see those benefits. And then, just again, like NPK, your recommendations, you look at your soil tests, you change maybe what you need, you just kind of go with what the soil test tells you. You might change from year to year what you actually apply. So let's start with gypsum as a nutrient source. This is data that we just came with to this meeting. I have a student did a poster, and this is on his poster. This shows data from 2002 to 2014 from Northwest Ohio after the Clean Air Act really went into place and scrubbers were removing the sulfur from the air. And you look at the soil test values, there's almost a straight line downward. The critical value in the literature roughly is about 10 parts per million. You can see in the last 3-4 years we're at that level or below. So when we started in this whole area of gypsum back in the early 2000s, people were saying, this is ridiculous. We don't have sulfur fertility issues in our soils, in our states. But people kept predicting, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Well, guess what? It's happening. Many states now are starting to show sulfur deficiencies and are doing sulfur fertility studies. So these are some of the rates that we are recommending. And by the way, if you see a little gyp soil, this is kind of information from them. Maybe I've adopted, changed it a little bit. If you see another logo at the bottom, it's another company I work with. But for row crops, if you're using it as a sulfur source, maybe 100 to 300 pounds per acre of gypsum. 100 pounds per acre of gypsum supplies 18 pounds of sulfur. A lot of our studies, we're applying 30 pounds per acre of sulfur as a in our fertility test. So that'd be roughly 200 pounds. So in that range, that would be appropriate range if you're using gypsum as a sulfur nutritional source. Alfalfa may be a little higher, and we have found, and I know other people too, the easiest crop to see a response to as far as gypsum application are forages, especially alfalfa. They seem to respond very, very consistently. Peanuts, we have Lamar here. He knows this better than I do. That's probably roughly in that range. I got that from a North Carolina bulletin. Potatoes, root crops, again, just a little bit higher because root crops like the calcium. We're not really talking so much about sulfur here. Applying gypsum often results in an increase of 1 ton per acre. We talked about that, but it also results in better quality. This is a study out of Scotland. At the right there, daily sheep gain, where you have both nitrogen and sulfur being applied, the sheep gain was significantly better, daily sheep gain, because of the quality. Sulfur promotes protein formation in the plant. Better protein, more protein, better quality forage. The other question that came up this spring, and this is the only slide, might be a little bit difficult to read. If I apply gypsum in the fall, it's going to be all gone by spring because everybody knows sulfur is like nitrogen and it leaches out very, very quickly from the soil profile. Every half-truth means there's a little bit of truth also, right? Or you won't believe it. Gypsum is not as soluble as calcium nitrate, ammonium nitrate. If you apply it in the fall, this is applied in the fall just before in those hard-to-see 10, 11, 12 parts per million soil tests. They apply gypsum at this case, about 1 ton per acre, but we have some other tests in that 2 to 300 pound per acre rate also. You can see the soil test 40, 50, up to 75 parts per million. More than enough sulfur in that case to satisfy the crop needs. So it does not leach out. The only time it might leach out very quickly and have a problem if you apply it in the fall are very sandy soils. And then you might see that as an issue. What is the proper application rate? So this is the other test then based on soil physical properties, calcium, magnesium, infiltration. So I've come up with a number of different scenarios that people have published or talked to me about. I think there's like two or three PhD dissertations that could come out of this testing some of these because they haven't been highly tested. But this is what people are using. They have some good science behind them. But again, compared to NPK tests, this would be a great dissertation study. So if it's based on CEC, some people are applying gypsum rates as far as improving the physical properties based strictly on the CEC content of the soil. Less than 5 CEC, 500 pounds per acre. 5 to 10, 1,000. 10 to 15, 2,000. Greater than 15 CEC, above 4,000. Seems to work, but you know it'd be great to have some good scientific tests behind that. Application rates based on balancing formulas, based on texture, CEC, both and base saturation. So here's a soil with a CEC of 18, a base saturation of calcium about 58%, magnesium about 25%. Observations in the field said this had poor compaction, poor rooting, ponding, erosion, droughtiness. So recommended rate was 2,000 pounds per acre. And let me show you some how some of these calculations then work themselves out. This is actually just a little bit different, but again, CEC in this case was 18, 58% base saturation of calcium. A common calcium mill equivalent per 100 grams of soil is about 400. So they work through this equation. The solution 70 minus 58, you know, you want, I guess, 70% calcium would be the goal. Gives a 12 times 18, which is the CEC times 400 pounds, coming from that top right, equals 864 pounds of calcium in the top 8 inches. And since gypsum isn't 100% calcium, you go through that calculation, it came out to about 2 tons per acre. So there's some science behind it, right? There's some logic behind it. Great dissertation topic right there. Magnesium concentration. Basic, again, this is from another company I work with, application rate based on balancing formulas. If you're looking at magnesium correction, they have rate is B times 2,000. Magnesium, the level of magnesium in the soil divided by 120 equals A. A times 0.2 times CEC equals B. And then you multiply B times 2,000 and you get your rate. Now, there's some science behind that, based on CEC, based on magnesium concentrations, based on a soil test. How well does it work in general? I don't know. I think the consultants say it seems to work very well. It'd be nice to have, again, some studies behind it. Sodium correction, the same sort of thing. You go through what is A, what is B, you go through the calculation, and you come up with a rate. Application rate to correct subsoil acidity. This was a USDA, ASA special publication by the USDA group. If you have subsoil acidity, and Moncom talked about that, what is the proper rate that you should apply your gypsum? The rate was based on this equation, minus 114 plus 82.77 A to the sub-zero or subset S, minus 2.74 A to subset S squared, times 0.893 divided by 0.8186. And then this AS sub S is really how much sulfur was sorbed from a soil out of solution. And that's where that number came from. Again, it seemed to work in some studies, and it would be great to maybe look at that a little bit more closely. What is the proper gypsum application rate? Well, a lot of times if you're looking strictly, and this is from Daryl Norton, strictly at infiltration, 1 ton per acre is used commonly, and it does improve the infiltration rate. Gypsum rates of 10 tons per acre have been used on these soils in Missouri, which we had very high magnesium levels, and it seemed to really have a beneficial impact. So that's a very high rate. Not just a blanket application of about 1 ton. Gypsum is not a liming agent. It does have some impact on the lime, as Dr. Sumner mentioned, but it is not an acid-base type of lime directly. You know, it's not like hydroxide reacting with hydrogen ion in a direct effect. This is a typical blown soil. pH at the surface, because it's been limed, is about 6.5, but you go down into the subsurface, pH drops below 5. Aluminum 3 plus kicks up very high, causes root growth inhibition. And this is some of the work that's been published. So if you look at limestone only at the surface, the roots are all there at the surface. You put limestone and gypsum together, the roots are much more proliferating, much more root mass. They go deeper, you get at more water and nutrients. If you're using it as an environmental stewardship to tie up the phosphorus, we're just pretty much in Ohio, the application rate is about 1 ton per acre. It has these physical properties, also has these chemical properties. We have done a little bit more than 2 years of study now. What we did is we applied this in April in 2012. We wanted to collect tile drainage throughout the summer. 2012 was a drought year, if you remember. We didn't get any samples till November, 8 months later. And this is what happened 8 months later. I got this email from this farmer who's a collaborator with us. He was collecting the samples. He says, Warren, you can't believe the difference we saw in the tile water coming out of our fields. And the way that study was set up, we had tiles, you know, every so many feet, and it didn't manifold, so we had outlets for each of those tile areas. Some were treated with gypsum, and some were not. So this was after about 8 months. Again, another farm about after 8 months, starting in 2012. I think Daryl Norton showed this one from our work. This is after 20 months. So one of the questions that's come up again is, if you're applying gypsum to try to tie up phosphorus, how long will that effect last? Well, we know it's going to last at least 20 months based on at least this one study. Because we measured 20 months later, we're still getting a significant reduction in both sediment and phosphorus. Now, how about applying it, just the application process itself? Gypsum is not unlike any other bulk material. It requires a slight learning curve. It's best to store it under cover if you can. If you store it out in the open field, keep the cattle away from it. They like to eat it. Cattle have a ruminant animal, and that will convert to hydrogen sulfide in the rumen, and can cause toxicity. So if you store it in the field, keep the animals away from it. Should it be applied on the surface, and then be left alone, or should you till it in? Well, it's moderately soluble. You don't really need to till it in. Actually, in no-till situations, we don't want to till it in. We want to have that interaction effect right at the soil surface. So there's no harm in applying it prior to tillage, but you don't need to till it. Can it be applied at any time pretty much during the year? Fall of the year after harvest is a great time as long as the fields are dry. You can apply it in the summer after an alfalfa cutting, right after the alfalfa cutting. Give it some time before the next cutting occurs. Ideal application equipment. I got all this from Gypsoil, so Ron's here. Anything I say wrong, you correct me. Okay. Ideal application equipment would be a stainless steel box, steep sides, because it will bridge a little bit. It's got a little bit of moisture to it. A belt chain with at least a 20-inch wide opening. And if you have a twin spinner, that's great. It helps distribute the material a little bit more uniformly across the field. Special attention should be given to the spreader box. Like I said, steep sides, clean and coat, no rust on the sides so it doesn't build up. Use a plastic liner, if not stainless steel. You can use something like this slip plate, which is a graphite film coating if there's a metal surface that's giving you some trouble, and that helps deliver the material to the drive at the end. Now, this is the last one. Four questions I get all the time. Maybe any of you that work with gypsum get these same four questions or more. Can you put too much gypsum on your soil? I say you can put too much gypsum on your soil. You can create an unbalanced nutrient situation in your soil. So that's why I say start with a soil test. Everything starts with a soil test. Should gypsum be mixed into the soil when applied? I already talked about that. Do you recommend applying every year or every other year? I think you can apply every other year. The only problem is if you apply it every other year or you use a one-time big application, that's a pretty big outlay economically for the farmer. So he may want to just apply it once every year, once every other year, instead of a big slug of gypsum every 3 or 4 years. We are starting an experiment at Ohio State where we're looking at this question specifically. When should I apply gypsum? And I've already talked about that. You can apply it basically any time of the year. Thank you. Okay.